starting at 7 here on ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM. KWWN Las Vegas. Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Five o'clock hours here. We're about 25 minutes from checking in with Mr. Vegas. Adam says it's only Mr. LA and barely that. And boy, oh boy, Hirosh Markazi. That inclusion of Hawaii in the beat range of Sporting Tribune, that's working out, isn't it? It's working out. I just looked him up on social media because I never know where the hell he is. And he's back in Hawaii again. Yeah, nice. Why are you laughing?
Mr. Hawaii.
Mr. Hawaii.
You can be Mr. Hawaii.
There are some good Hawaii topics to get into, including the opener. And there is an LA-Hawaii crossover with UCLA at Hawaii. Although, you know, it's funny. We grilled him last week on the Hawaii-Vegas involvement in the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. He didn't hoof it out there, did he? He didn't want to.
No.
Wasn't dying to go to Pennsylvania.
Nope, he went to Hawaii. Yes. He heard our pleas to cover the Hawaii Little League team and went to Hawaii, I guess, maybe to write about them when they returned?
Maybe. He can still do it.
Sure.
He can still do it. I got a question for you coming out of the Ion Sports gambling, because we got some Raider stuff to get to in a couple of minutes. We got outrage. You know what? It's not even outrage. It's just straight rage at LeBron. Again, it's daily. There are multiple bye games this week. And I don't mean you get to skip a game, but big boy teams bring in the little guys, give them a big payday. And listen, a lot of the Mountain West is actually in that little guy territory. I think that's going to dry up, which is going to be devastating to the Mountain West Conference schools. Hawaii, I mean, lives on that stuff. Hawaii comes to the mainland to play a couple of power fives and they cash in to the tune of whatever, you know, $2 million to $4 million. And it helps bankroll their all of their programs, but especially football. Western Kentucky's at Alabama. They're getting $1.9 million. Fresno, there you go, Mountain West. $1.85 million to go to Michigan. Pull the upset. Colorado State, another one. Colorado State, $1.8 million at Texas. UTEP is getting $1.6 million at Nebraska. I don't know that UTEP is that far away from Nebraska. I don't mean distance, but no. Nebraska is actually going to be pretty good this year. Western Michigan is getting $1.5 million against Wisconsin. And FAU, which, by the way, might have more money than Michigan State, but Boca Raton, Florida, very well supported. I kid because I care. $1.4 million. Western Kentucky, Alabama, Fresno, Michigan, Colorado State, Texas, UTEP, Nebraska, Western Michigan, Wisconsin, FAU, Michigan State. Do you see one of the dreaded outright winners where you pay someone to come in to smack them around and then they turn around and smack you right in the face and beat you?
Well, I mean, as an FAU fan, Steve, it's kind of...
That's right, I forgot your tie.
Hard for me to go against FAU. I'm going to go FAU. And I also hate Michigan State.
Yes.
It's kind of a perfect scenario for me.
Yeah, I think I think I put this out yesterday. I think Johnny Smith's going to have a tough time early on for a while.
Yeah.
Aiden Childs at the wrong Big Ten school. I tried to tell him 4 years ago or 3 years ago, but he wouldn't listen.
Sad to see it. Really unfortunate. Yeah.
Can Fresno State or Colorado State stay within two touchdowns? At least put some heat under the collar of Michigan and Texas, respectively.
I mean, I would say I don't think so, but I understand the realities of the world for Michigan right now. So, I think that it's certainly possible.
I mean, think about it. They're good positions. You have to have a lot to pull an upset when you're, you know, in the case of Colorado State, a 32.5 dog. But the best place to start is a veteran quarterback. And Mikey Keene, I think, is the best quarterback, best returning quarterback.
There's a lot of factors
in the conference.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that have to go into it. As you said, it's a veteran quarterback. It's some continuity in the program. It's also playing against a team that has question marks, like a change coach, a lot of, you know, hangover from a national championship, a lot of uncertainty about what the future of the program is and where it's exactly going and all those things.
Like, he's picking it.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily.
He's picking it.
You know, it's real nice to be a school that's going on the road to play a major conference team and actually looked at the odds makers like you have a chance. Like UNLV.
Yes. I like the way you put that, a major conference team.
Yeah.
Now, right now, H-Town is barely a favorite at -2. I also don't consider... It's an upset, by the books, but Big 12. I don't consider. I think they're a transitional
Mountain West team playing at a Big 12 team.
You're right. It's a quality win, but I think the way UNLV looks at it is it should be a win. I think there are three or four teams in the Mountain West Conference that are more mature as programs than Houston is with a first, not first time, a new coach in Willie Fritz who had to turn over the roster to the tune of 60 players.
Yeah, but I think you just look at it from the outsider perspective.
Yes.
You look on paper and say, wow, Mountain West team is going to play a Big 12 team. That's a bye game that...
Oh, no doubt.
That, you know, wow, you shouldn't lose that if you're the Big 12 team. But I think there's every expectation that UNLV should and could be in the game.
Over on Fox 5 today, we did a lengthy preview of the UNLV football season. The hammer was brought. Paloma with Grimala with... I'm just going to use a name. Jared, is this okay? If someone dubs me something, can I steal it from them and call myself that name?
No, because then you're amplifying.
Then I'm doing the I'm on the
Is it what the professor or whatever they call you over there?
God bless Mike Davis. No one has ever said that about me before. I don't know why he does it.
I think
it.
It's just calling you old. That's how I took it.
I think he probably listened to a lot of you jabronis in the market, especially the writers, and are like, wow, this guy, Cofield, knows a lot.
I didn't take it that way. I took it more old glasses, balding.
No.
Like you definitely wear professor jackets on the show.
My jackets are beautiful.
I think that's what
I had a nice gray number today.
I think that's what they're going for. You have like the patches, the patches on your on the arms of your
I jackets. Actually do have a jacket that has the patches.
That's it's a professor look.
Yes. Jared, can when Griff is back, when Griffin is back, can you're his boss, can we instruct him to just slip in some, hey, it's Professor Cofield and company.
The professor. Yeah, I'll absolutely have our voice guy. Get that going for you.
You can choose the cut from Mike on the show.
Oh, no, yeah, actually, that's perfect. That's even, we could. Yeah, I don't want any of my employees to have to work.
Did he say my employees?
Yes.
I don't even say my staff, my company.
Oh.
Wow, what's going on here? This is, hello. Well, you did a great job training Griffin. He's a chip off the old block. Wonderful job.
Actually,
but yeah.
He's not, he's actually good.
I didn't laugh at that. That wasn't me. Okay, so long story short, Fox 5 preview on Sin City Beat of the UNLV football season. I hope I remember where I was going on this one. They were asking if...
Brought the hammer.
They did bring the hammer.
That's what you said.
But they were asking if UNLV was to win the Mountain West Conference Championship, logging a 10-2 record overall, could they be the team that was the highest rated in Group of Five?
They could.
I said, yes.
It's possible.
But this has to happen.
Well, no.
The loss in conference, I think, would have to be regular season 2 Boise. And they'd have to beat Syracuse. Remember, this is voted on. This highest rated Group of Five team. So they'd have to beat Syracuse, a Power Four. They'd have to beat Kansas, a Power Four on the road. They'd have to beat supposed Power Four Oregon State on the road. I think they need to pile up a 2-touchdown win against one of them and then obviously win the Mountain West Conference Championship game. So there's some room for error, but not a lot. They got to take care of business because this is a perception thing.
Well, I mean, I don't even have to watch the season. I already know they're going to be there because Ricky White said they're going to be there, and I trust Ricky White.
He did. He's a man of few words.
Yes, we'll be there.
I wish I had grabbed that quote initially and said, Ricky White told me. Now, there were 32 other people in the room, but he did actually tell me. He stared me down. He's like, we'll be there.
That was a great quote.
And I did one of yours where I was like, okay, right afterwards. We let it stay silent. He said, that's all I'm saying. I'm like, all right, let's move on.
I believed him.
Next question. He's confident, man. He's a great player.
He really is.
He's a great player. So news out about LeBron James, and there's a lot of anger over this. Did you see the angry angle in this one?
I mean, I guess. I don't know why people would be angry. But
the Vast Sound crew didn't grab the audio on this, but I happen to hear the audio.
I have a guess of what people are mad about.
He gave options. He said, absolutely, Bronny cannot call him dad on the floor. Like
dad, know, dad, pass me the ball.
Okay.
Dad.
All right.
Make that shot, dad.
Yeah. Did you see all the different names he chose?
I did, and now in my head it registered exactly what people are mad about, but guess what? It's true, so deal with it.
What did he say that Bronny could call him?
Well, most importantly, I mean, he can call him Bron, of course. Yeah. But he said he can also call him Goat.
He said he can call his son can call him Goat, and immediately the anti-LeBroners went crazy.
Yeah, sorry, it's true. I mean, I don't know what you want. I understand people don't like you saying it about yourself, just like you trying to introduce the professor yourself yeah. to the show.
It's about the same thing.
People don't like that, but he is the best player of all time. He is the GOAT.
Yeah.
So I guess it's fine. I mean, again, you don't like people bestowing it on you and like, hey, you can call me this. That's a little obnoxious, but he is.
I will say one thing that I do, because I love LeBron, love rooting for him, love the haters. But one of the things that does annoy me, he did it at the Olympics several times. He's got to stop with the king thing all the time. The motion of the king, like
the crown,
putting the crown on. Dude, come on.
I like it.
Well, there was a case at the Olympics where someone came on the floor. The crowd was cheering for them, and LeBron looks up and he's like, "Oh, king." Like that wasn't for you.
I don't mind it. It's always about the king.
Well, but for you and it's me king both, James. I think we both like him. But now we really like him. And anytime people get irked, we like that.
Sure.
Because there is that anti-LeBroner crowd that's sure. pro MJ.
No, if I'm being serious, I don't love the placing the crown on your helmet, on your head thing. Not because I don't think he's the best player of all time, but I think it's a stupid action, and I think the whole crown thing is kind of dumb.
I gotta say, I think it's dumb that he's outlawing dad. What's the difference?
I mean, I get.
What is Austin Reeves gonna have an issue?
Yeah, like, hey, that's favoritism. We can't call him dad.
Will Dalton Kinect get pissed?
Well, I'm not gonna comment about that. But I wouldn't want that if I was him either.
The other part of this is
we've never had to deal with this in the NBA, so it's a whole new.
Which
scenario.
Is a nice story, isn't it? Sure. Why do we always have to go negative?
I don't know.
It's a nice story.
People are angry.
People are. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, 5 o'clock hour. Arash is coming up in about 10 minutes. I got to get to a little Raider news here in just a few, but let's continue talking about the billionaires of the sport, the upper crust that really we can't associate
Matt
with
Eberflus?
Anymore. No, who just got a horse? Who just bought a horse?
The guy that just signed a new $100 million Amazon deal with, I think. Travis Kelce bought a horse.
You know what? These guys, he and his brother do a great show. Podcast that they chop up beautifully. Make it look real smooth. And I think somewhat Jason Kelce is relatable. Travis is not anymore. Come on, man. He's buying horses.
He's a man of the people.
He's living the life. What is the horse named? Who buys horses?
Wouldn't you? If you had money, wouldn't you buy a horse? You're a horse guy. You grew up on the track.
Okay. I'm not a horse guy. I appreciate the majestic nature of the muscled up thoroughbreds, but I'm not a horse guy. I don't like riding them. We talked about this yesterday.
You worked at the track.
I served soup at the track. It wasn't like I was it wasn't like I was in the stables. Like, hey, Steve, finish up your stable duties at 9 a.m. and go make the clam chowder now.
But you were around the track. You were part of the track. You were an essential role in putting horse racing on at the track.
I appreciate your efforts to make me look like I'm in some sort of regal crowd. I served soup, and I was a ringer on the softball team, so I got to a better concession stand because the boss wanted a decent outfielder defensively, so he got really gaga, and it did help me advance my concessions career. Eventually, I was the barbecue coach.
Yeah, well, that's the step up from soup?
Absolutely.
You couldn't like be the beer guy?
No.
Even with your prestigious role on the softball team, you couldn't?
Do you understand the way horse tracks work? Do you understand the royalty at those places? Maybe not Belmont on Long Island, but at Monmouth Park on the Jersey Shore, you had to be kind of connected.
Sounds like you were.
No. You are. What was the word of the day yesterday?
Truculent?
Yes.
I was listening.
Actually, that's not the word for you today.
It's not.
I can see your eyes are getting slitty and you're getting punchy. I feel like a concerned parent. You're getting punchy.
Well, I've watched a lot of something on YouTube the last 12, 13 days and haven't actually slept.
Well, you could have taken I was mentioning being competitive earlier. You sent over a note like an hour before the show. You're like, in between this and this, I watched the entire Hard Knocks. And then you sent over 42 bullet points. I'm like, what? When did you have time to do this?
Well, truth be told, behind the scenes.
Or was there a big discussion about it?
No. I wanted to watch it last night after I watched some other stuff that had been on that I was trying to catch up on. And then I watched the Steve McNair documentary. And then I was going to watch it. And I was like, I'll save it for tonight, for Wednesday night. Because I didn't remember until about 12:15 today that I was doing the show today. So then I was like, oh, I better watch Hard Knocks because we've got this on. So I watched it over at the in between interviews with the Raiders. I'd jump in and out of Hard Knocks.
Jared and I will take the blame on this. Very much Jared to a small degree because we've been rotating so many people because we have a big company now. I actually do. Generally, I will send like an 11 o'clock overnight, like, hey, reminder, you're doing the show tomorrow.
Yeah. So and then you said, why haven't you sent stories over? And I was like, oh, I guess I'm doing the show.
That was literally the first. Oh, no.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
By the way, we were mocking on, and they're mocking on themselves, but we were mocking on the utter confusion on the press box.
I know.
Because both Danny and Ed last week thought they had booked you, and then they're ready to go to your spot, and they're all like, where is he? Yeah. Didn't you book him? And both of them gave Tyler, the boss. I bet you he calls. Did you say his employees? Is that what he said earlier?
Yeah. My employees.
My employees, Ed and Danny, blew it.
They are employees that are under my care. My employees.
He's just going to do it. He's just going to keep doing it. Under
my
care.
They're not sales associates. They're employees.
Under my care.
Wait, can you fire Tyler?
He's not one of my employees.
Oh, okay. You could fire Danny?
Yeah.
No, you can't! We just had a text exchange the other night. I was discussing different things, and you were like, I can't fire people. You said that to me off the air the other day about your people.
All right, technically, I can't.
You got caught. You got caught in the net.
Factually, I can write them up to unlimited times.
Sure.
Can you call Danny and fire him and record it? You can obviously tell him at the end it's a joke. But call him up and fire him. And see, I would like to see what he says.
That's going to make Friday really uncomfortable because the next day we have to go do stuff together.
No, that's good, though. I mean, at the end of the call, you can say, this is just for the air. I was just taping it as a joke. But just call him up, record it, and fire him. I'd like to see what he says.
Yeah, all right. I'll give it a shot.
Great.
So I kept promising a Raiders thing. I'm going to tie in the Raiders to this. Adam said, I wrote a plea to the NFL, please change the NFL rule.
Oh,
so
please,
what's going on here?
Please.
And I feel like there's a Raider angle to this.
Oh, there is for sure. I mean,
because you are part of the Raider kicker room. You love that room. You have a cot in that room.
I do.
Not everyone loves you being in that room.
Not everyone.
No.
I think there are a lot of people within the league, league sources, let's say, who are concerned that because they changed the rule, when they originally put it in, it was supposed to be a 35-yard line for the touchbacks. In order to get it passed back in April, they changed it to the 30. So it's now the 30-yard line for a touchback. All of these teams, these kickers, these special teams rooms, the coordinators, spent an entire offseason trying to figure out how best to handle kickoffs going into the season. They haven't put those things in the preseason because they don't want other teams to see it on tape. But they've been experimenting with a lot of different things. They have been spending an entire offseason trying to work on this stuff. I actually love the kickoff rule. I think it's great. But I am very, very concerned, and there are other people around the league that are very, very concerned, that the way this has gone, which is the average starting field position is the 28.2-yard line through the preseason, that coaches will say, all right, on average, by kicking it deep and trying to make a tackle, we're gaining about 1.8 yards of field position. Now, I would argue that's statistically relevant, that you would give up less points from the 28.2 than you would from the 30 on average. But the downside is, if you're only potentially gaining 1.8 yards of field position, why would you ever allow that to potentially decide a game and give up a long return, give up a touchdown on special teams? You wouldn't. So I do feel by week two or three, you're going to see right back to the old way of everybody just kicking out of the end zone and saying, all right, take it at the 30, that's fine. because it's not worth it for that 1.8 yards in their mind to try to do that. And so I think the NFL can. They've already said they could. They said they could do it after the year starts too, but they don't want to. They can, before the season starts, take a vote, move it back to the 35 where it was supposed to be. And I think they have to. They must do that if they want this kickoff rule to work.
Right.
They have to. There's no doubt about it.
They don't make the changes. This kind of shows they did this kicking and dragging. Or what am I saying? They dragged them, whatever. Yeah. Kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's all, and by the way, like, the ratings are going to, you know, people literally are not going to watch kickoffs. It's an utter waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. And it's going to go right back to where it was. Now, some teams will still try to, here and there, try to do it. But we even saw it last week with the Raiders. If you notice, at the end of the game, they tied the game with 13 seconds left, right? Because they mismanaged the clock at the end of the game. But they tied it with 13 seconds left. And then they had to kick off. And they did the 100% right thing. They kicked it through the end zone for a touchback. But even in that scenario, in a preseason game where the outcome doesn't matter, they're like, we're not taking a chance with this. Just kick it through the end zone, of course. And you're going to see a lot of that during the season. You're going to see a lot of teams. Again, I think there will be teams here and there, especially early in the game. Yeah, maybe go ahead and kick it. But any kind of possession that seems to matter in a game, they're absolutely going to be kicking it through the end zone. It's got to go to the 35. It has to.
So what's gonna happen?
They're not going to change it.
Of course.
They've come out and they've kind of said it's not likely to happen. That doesn't mean it's not. Doesn't mean it won't. And I think if some people there are a couple other media people nationally kind of beating the drum for this. In particular, Mike Florio is a big one I know from Pro Football Talk. I don't, McAfee did a big thing about it the other day. He's like, look, they're not going to change it, but they have to. And they do. They have to change it. It's imperative. And if they don't, it's going to be boring again. And then people are going to say, why did they even change this rule? Why does it look silly and they're still kicking it out of the end zone? It doesn't make any sense.
We're about 40 minutes away from the Barry Odom Radio Show. First of the season. It's back at 215 in Flamingo, Parkway Tavern. Great spot. Indoor-outdoor seating. Show is beamed to the joint. Prizes are given away. The grand prize for this show starts at 6. Got to be there. Sign up. Be eligible by being present. Grand prize is a suite at Allegiant Stadium for the home opener on September 7th. 16 people can fit in the suite. Food and beverage is covered. $2,000 value. And this is a great thing to come out and support Barry Odom and the UNLV football program. Matt Nevert, new voice of UNLV football on radio. Caleb Herring, the former quarterback, will be there. It's a 6 o'clock start, so get on over now. Get in the car right now. You can win great prizes. $2 on the Miller Lights during the show. I like that special as well. Parkway Tavern, Barry Odom Radio Show, 215 and Flamingo.
Live from the Battleborne Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
This music a lot. I like it a lot. This is good for the Arash spot. Everything about this guy is cool. He's Mr. Vegas, Mr. LA, Mr. Hawaii. It's not stressed. It's a different vibe on Cofield and Company. By the way, Adam Hill is here as well. Arash, I just tweeted a picture out of you, did you get out of the water to do the spot today?
I did, yeah. It's a beautiful day here in Honolulu, getting ready for the season opener for UCLA playing Hawaii again. Hawaii played week zero, so this is the second game for them. But yeah, got out of the water for you guys, and thrilled to catch up.
There's a picture of you, just the top of your head sitting out of the water. And I just keep hoping a shark will come by and eat it.
Yeah, no, the sharks love me like everyone loves me, but except for Adam Hill. Mr. Costa Mesa, Mr. Downtown Los Angeles.
There he goes. I'll tell you, even I got a little irked by the jet set and lifestyle you lead when over the weekend I don't get an invite. We're at Circa all the time. You are in a pool. You're doing quick videos. Then I see Loco Moco being slid toward you. I'm like, what? How does this guy get in this quick at every one of these joints?
It's so great. Yeah, Circa, apparently the home for Hawaii football. Like, I didn't even know that was happening. By the way, apparently talking to those people from Hawaii, like, that was like a last-minute deal. Like, it went all the way up until like Friday until they got that confirmed. But, normally we'll be at a game on Saturday or Sunday, so it was nice on week zero to be at Stadium Swim at Circa. And again, it was good to see you guys as well.
Can I mention it on the air? I won't be specific.
Some people knew.
Yeah, I will say that the funny thing is you put that out. That was a great announcement. I was really happy for Circa. Someone I know in the room may have been at the beginning of that whole process being brokered.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Once again, Arash.
Yeah, great job, Arash.
Overshadowed. Well, Arash isn't claiming that he got the deal done. He was just able to announce it. You wouldn't have tweeted that out anyway, so what's the difference? You're a journalist, Adam Hill.
Journalist. Sure, I am.
All right, Arash, let's... First of all, I want to talk about what you guys are doing on your nightly show. Let's mention where the people can hear it in L.A., and you are part of the Lotus family, and video's up there every night, and you guys are doing a hell of a job, man.
Yeah, you know, it's been fun streaming. Looked at what you guys were doing. ESPN 710's been doing it. REC Jim Rome's doing it at a very big scale with, like, acts. But, you know, you got to be where the folks are tuning in. And so we had a lot of fun doing it. It was really kind of like on a whim. The numbers have been, when I say surprisingly good, like, again, like, really, like, no expectation or promotion, but it's been fun. And so hope we can continue doing it, again, using StreamYard, which, again, I'm lucky to have a staff that knows all about that kind of stuff, because I have no clue. So we'll be on again tonight around 6:30. We're still kind of playing around, like, do we do pregame? Do we do postgame? We're not quite sure yet, but we're having a ton of fun.
The late night formula is good. I think you stick with the late night formula, unless you get tired of it, because it is late. I'm going to use some of the topics from the last couple of days. You guys are doing a great job of teasing as well. I love the title, "What the Heck Are the Rams Doing?" What are they doing?
Well, I think a lot of people are confused, because Kyren Williams was not only thought to be, you know, one of the key players for the Rams this year. I mean, if you did your fantasy football draft prior to the Sean McVay announcement that he'd be a punt returner, you're pretty upset. And I think a lot of Rams fans are upset. It's a unique thing with the Rams. I mean, there's so much trust within that fan base for Sean McVay that while they're confused and upset and don't know what to make of it, it's sort of like in McVay we trust. So I think they're going to let it play out. Again, so it's not like Kyren Williams got traded. It's not like he's not with the team or he's hurt or something. He's just going to begin the season as a punt returner, which no one saw that coming.
No. Rams, is it official now that they've got things going at Woodland Hills? I texted you this week to try to set up a date at the El Torito across the street. But what does it actually mean, Rams and Woodland Hills? What's the next step here?
You know, so, I mean, the big thing is, and by the way, so, like they have not moved in like the Chargers have into a brand-new permanent facility. They've changed their temporary site to Woodland Hills, which is closer. So now they're in Los Angeles County. The significance there is that unless you're, like, a beat reporter, it was really hard to get a lot of the local TV stations out there. You know, these camera guys, they do news and sports. So, I mean, to drive all the way to Agoura Hills was a trek. And so for as good as the Rams have been, they've not really gotten the press coverage that you would think. Them being in Woodland Hills helps. They'll probably be in Los Angeles, guys, 10 years before they get their actual permanent facility. Wow. They're still in sort of these, you know, temporary kind of like track home type things. So it's a beautiful field. As you know, Steve, it does get hot, but they are finally in Woodland Hills.
What is it having a facility like that and having it ready do for an organization?
You know what? I mean, what it would give them is like a permanent home. I mean, Sean McVay joked about it, and it was trending when he was joking about his office not having any windows and how when he took the job, like he thought that it was only like a couple of years away. Again, these guys moved here in January 2016. I mean, they probably won't get their permanent facility until 2026. And that's if things begin to pick up. So it is really a testament to Sean McVay and Les Snead that they've been as successful as they have been, really practicing at Cal Lutheran University in Agoura Hills, in Thousand Oaks, like just nowhere near SoFi Stadium and in these temporary facilities that they try to make look as good as they possibly can, but it is not up to par.
Have they thought about moving to downtown? Because it's lovely.
No, thankfully not. No.
Arash is with us, Arash Markazi, Sporting Tribune. He's the CEO. They've got a streaming show up every night. Go to @ArashMarkazi, @SportingTrib on Twitter to watch the show and then get really feeds from all the different beats around Vegas and Hawaii and L.A. Another thing you guys hit on the show, nice tease here, revealing a little-known feud between the Lakers and Clippers and why the Clippers are winning. What is this?
Yeah, so the Lakers from 1988 to 2015 had training camp and a preseason game in Hawaii. Following 2015, when they built their new practice facility, they have not come to Hawaii. The Clippers saw this and smartly basically planted their flag in Las Vegas. In Hawaii. They announced yesterday that they're going to be hosting their training camp for the fifth time since 2017 in Hawaii. You're going to have a preseason game against the Golden State Warriors. It's really significant for the people of Hawaii that they don't have a pro sports team. All of the local channels, though, that you would get sports in Southern California on Spectrum, Pepepali Sports West and whatnot, they get those here in Hawaii. So to have the Clippers have training camp here for a week, have a preseason game against the Warriors, like, it's a really big deal. So I know Hawaii often gets forgotten, but I think it's a really cool thing. And so the Lakers were kind of hoping just to keep Hawaii to themselves without actually having to come out here. The Clippers said, we're going to take it over, and they really have.
But are the Warriors also training in Hawaii?
Yeah, so they're training on the North Shore at BYU Hawaii. Which that is their first time going out there. So it's a really cool thing. Again, with the new CBA, training camps in the NBA are generally like a week. And again, so as you guys know, that is a complete, that's not like any other professional sports league. Again, so you're basically going to be in Hawaii for less than a week, really, maybe 5 days. So nice kind of a bonding experience to come to Oahu, have training camp, have a preseason game. So, and again, great for the people of Hawaii.
Yeah, I asked that question because I was like, wait, they have announced this? Because I knew they were training in Hawaii. I was like, they have announced it, right? I don't want to know to make sure that was not something I was just throwing out there. You're going – well, I want to get to this first before I go on to that. LeBron has made it clear – no calling him dad on the court for Bronny. He gave him some options. Which one do you think he goes with? What will Bronny call LeBron on the court?
I know he gave him some options. I think 2-3, like, again, calling him Bron, like, calling, again, I've never been one to call my dad by his first name, so I don't know how that'll go. Goat seems a little, like, too much. So 2-3 seems the most likely of the bunch, so we'll see. But I agree with LeBron. Like, you shouldn't call him dad on the court.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Also, Bron isn't his first name. It's LeBron, right? Isn't that enough of a variance that it's not really calling your dad by his first name?
Maybe, but I think everyone calls him Bron. So, I mean, maybe. Yeah, I don't know what he's going to go with. I also think calling him, like, you know, like, it's like LeBron James. Calling him like 23 or 2-3 seems a little weird. So it's a good point. And I don't know what the answer is. It'll also be very interesting to see how many games Bronny James and LeBron actually play together.
Does anyone in this conversation, Arash, Cofield, or Adam, do any of us call our fathers by their first names ever?
No.
I don't know.
My dad's not the greatest player of all time.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I like
my dad certainly was not that.
I like calling your dad Kurt.
Sure.
But we're like the same age. That's one thing.
Sure.
Much older than you, although I claim that you're very close. But my father, Tom, I don't call him Tom.
Tommy.
Other people do. Other people do. Okay, so you were building to a second point with Arash. Arash Markazi's on with us. He's in Hawaii. He's getting ready for UCLA in Hawaii.
No, it's just more about his weekend of traveling home. He's in Hawaii, but he does have to get here because there's a important Los Angeles-based game in Las Vegas on Sunday as well. You're going to be able to make both these games?
Yeah, hopping on a red-eye flight immediately after the UCLA-Hawaii game. Open again. There's no delays or anything like that. They are expecting rain. So, but again, I think that there's enough of a cushion there with the kickoff time that I should be okay. But I am expected to land Sunday morning, go home, freshen up, get ready to go to Allegiant Stadium for the first game of the season for USC and Louisiana State.
I'm trying to figure out which one of us is more likely to be delayed and not make it to the game. So I'm trying to fly home Sunday to make the game, too, from Houston.
Oh, okay. I think
you're more likely to make it in time, I think.
I hope so. I hope so.
Arash, I say...
I really don't care if, like, Adam Hill makes it or not. Like, I'm more concerned
about myself. I mean, let's not let this bubble to the surface on live radio.
Wow.
I say UCLA is actually going to handle Hawaii easily. What do you think?
I do, too. I think just when you look at if you look at the line of scrimmage, it is unfortunate that the way things are. Like, there's a massive discrepancy at the line of scrimmage when you look at the size of the offensive line and the defensive line for both of these teams. So it's kind of interesting that the point spread from a couple of weeks ago has dropped somewhat from, like, I think it was like 19 to about 2 touchdowns. But I do think UCLA should win pretty handily. I think 2 touchdowns sounds about right. You know, again, the big factor could be rain. But I really don't think this will be a close game.
One last point to hit, and I hope you can be here on November 8th into the 9th. That's an Adam Hill-like event. It's an overnight event. Headline on this, Tropicana Las Vegas owner Bally's Corp and the A's will host an October 8th celebratory event before the implosion at 2:30 in the morning. I don't know why the A's inclusion irks me, but it kind of does.
Yeah, you know, because I think what it does, it confuses things, because the implosion of the Tropicana really, truly has nothing to do with the ballpark. This was going to happen regardless.
Right.
Now, yes, it is tied there is public funds tied to the building of the stadium. But I think the mistake people make is thinking that the only reason that the Tropicana is being imploded is because there's going to be a ballpark. That is not the case.
Well, that's what the A's want people to think. That's why they're weaseling their way into this.
They're saving us. Yes. They're saving us from what was an uncertain future for one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in the city, in the world. Thank you, A's, for coming here. And it was going to be a slummy area for a long time without you guys. Yep. So
thank goodness.
There you go. Arash, get back in the water. We appreciate you coming on when you're out and about. We'll be looking for the show tonight again at Sporting Trib, at Arash Markazi. Have a great time, and we'll see you over the weekend.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
There you go. I won't see him because I don't think I'm going to be at the game. But I will be right across the street. So maybe he wants to come over and grab a drink. Modelo is presenting the Las Vegas Kickoff Classic. And we'll be hanging out at Whiskey Stadium. Parking right across the street from Allegiant. I mean, there's no... We predicted this, right? What do we say? Once the stadium's there, then it's going to start getting built up. And they put together this outstanding property with a parking lot. I mean, the view of the stadium is great. All the doors open up.
It was fantastic.
It's unreal. We're going to be out there, ESPN Las Vegas, and I'll be out there, Cofield, from 2 to 4 with those Modelo specials. They have great food. Also got the apps today. That's awesome. And that's a great place to go. Right now, it's the middle of happy hour, 4 to 7, Monday to Friday. They do happy hour. We'll be out there on Sunday. It's the pregame for the Modelo Las Vegas Kickoff Classic between LSU and USC. Again, mark it down right there across from the stadium on Polaris. Whiskey Stadium with ESPN Las Vegas and me, Steve Cofield.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
It is Cofield and Company wrapping it up here on a Wednesday. Coach Barry Odom Show radio show follows. But don't have, I mean, if you want to listen to it here, you certainly can. But you can also go down and join the fellas over at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. I'll probably be over there. I don't know if that's a bonus or a detraction from going, but I'll probably be swinging by after the show. Here at Coach Odom has to say, heading into week one against Houston. But it is that time of the show, so let's jump in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Starting with this one, we talked about the NFL hopefully changing the rule on kickoffs. They should move it back to the 35-yard line for a touchback instead of the 30 if they actually want this kickoff rule to work. But we didn't get into a decision that they made to not change a rule formally. They have the first down technology now in place. It looks very – you don't like it?
No, are they sticking with what I think they are?
Well, it looks very much like the tennis challenges where you kind of have that animation of like, here's the ball, it's short of the first down. I think eventually it's going to be very good, and I'm excited for it. I think it will work out at some point in the future. But they were trying it out in the preseason. They just voted this week to make sure they do not go forward with it this year. Next year, they most certainly will. I'm pretty sure it'll be in place for the 2025 season, but it will not be for the 2024 season. I think it's a good thing because I don't think it was quite ready. There were some cases where it looked fine. It happened quick. They moved on. They were good. Other cases, including like that first night, it was over 3 minutes long. If you're going to use technology, it's got to be good and fast and quick. It can't be waiting for this animation to come on the screen. They might as well just come out and measure it at that point. It was silly when it took too much time, and they did have it in effect at a couple of Raiders games at Allegiant Stadium. It took about a minute, maybe a little bit more. It's got to be faster. It's got to be instant. If you watch tennis, it happens right away. That's the same sort of technology. They need that to happen immediately if this is going to work. So they're not going to use it for this year. It sounds like, Jared, you did not want them to use it, right?
No, I wanted them to use it. I mean, I don't understand how tennis figured this out, what, 12, 15 years ago? And yeah. Everyone else is just like, I don't know. Let's get two 55-year-olds in a chain. That's good enough.
I'm not a tech guy, so I can't really specifically answer this. You would think a tennis ball moving like 130 miles yes! an hour is harder to measure exactly where it is on the court than a football that is just sitting still.
Well, the fact that the AAF, rest in peace, had this technology for half a season and it seemed to work fine for them, and the NFL's like, it's too much.
The NFL is the most successful league in the world. You would think that they'd do a lot of things better. A lot of things they don't do well. And somehow we just keep loving it and watching it and forgiving all the sins of the league. This needs to be better. It will be better by next year, I'm sure. But for right now, it just, if you're going to, especially, here's the other thing. If you're going to wait 2 minutes, 3 minutes for the outcome of this, it's got to look a little bit more professional. It looks like a kid is drawing it.
Yeah, the graphics were not great.
Yeah.
But
not good.
Like, you know, I still don't understand. Like, go to Unity. Get on Steam. Go to the Unity store and just buy some, like, football assets. You should be fine.
Yeah. Can we use clip art?
Well, I mean, all right.
Just like a ball in a line? Oh, it is the ball in a line.
Yes. It's a ball.
It's the only two things they have to put on there. I'm sure there's a lot more to it that we don't. Like, you'd obviously have to, you know, coordinate your GPS coordinate, whatever, where the ball is compared to where the line is, I guess. And you have to understand where it started 10 yards earlier, so it has to be in place for a couple of plays, I guess. It doesn't seem like it's that hard, and I don't know why it is that hard. That's frustrating. It's annoying, but it's the NFL, and we love it. A week from tomorrow, first NFL game. But you know what's coming up sooner than that? UNLV's first game. Their opener at Houston coming up on Saturday. Coach Barry Odom, Caleb Herring, Matt Neverett, Steve Cofield will be over there. All the guys will talk about that game. They'll discuss it. They'll break it down. They'll talk about the season as a whole as well as they get ready to play at Houston. A Big 12 road game coming up on Saturday. That's the Coach Barry Odom radio show coming up in just a matter of minutes right here on ESPN Las Vegas. And, of course, you can join them live. Join the fellas. That's what I'll be doing right now over at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. Great spot to hang out anytime, day or night, but especially right now with Coach Barry Odom and the fellas. Enjoy it. Get you ready for the UNLV season. That'll do it for Cofield and Company.